Father, thank you most of all that you provide Sabbath rest in your Son, Jesus, an eternal redemption, restoration, renewal, new creation life. We've tasted part of it. If we are in Christ this morning, we've tasted it, and we are longing and hoping for that eternal rest that is to come. And so that's where you're taking all of us with Sabbath. But we want to understand what your Sabbath principles are and what you've communicated to your people as we live here in this world, in this life. And so help us as we continue to study that fourth commandment and to put our minds in the shoes of the Israelites, and help us to do this together as we go into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We've been talking about Sabbath. Let me just kind of do a review for us. So the first time we hear about Sabbath is in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. There God creates in 6 days. And then at the end of his creating work, he chooses to rest. Now he doesn't need physical rest. He's not tired from the work that he did in making all things. He's consummating. He's culminating his work. He's taking a break. He's ceasing from the activity of creating, and he's delighting in and enjoying what he has made and celebrating it. He's also consecrating it. He's setting it apart for himself. We would say that we can follow God in this image, in this model. We follow in his ways. Well, then we began to think through Sabbath under the Old Covenant. The first time we hear about it, does anybody remember where that is in Exodus? 16, yeah, chapter 16. What's going on there in Exodus chapter 16?
Are they gathering manna?
They're gathering manna, yeah. So God provides them food in the wilderness as they're wandering there. And some of them are like, what are we going to do with this all this manna? Can we keep it for more than one day? And he says, no, right? So 6 days, you know, they're gathering. It goes bad in the morning if they try to keep it. He says, but there's this thing called Sabbath, and you've forgotten about it because you've been under slavery. You've been having to work hard, and I have liberated you and freed you and made you a new creation. You're a new people, and I'm going to remind you of Sabbath rest. You're going to work 6 days and rest one. So on that sixth day, gather manna enough for that seventh day and eat it. So a little bit after that, then we hear the fourth commandment in Exodus 20. Let me read that for us, because that's what we're thinking about. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. And he gives the reason why. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So we looked at this fourth commandment. We thought through it. We studied it. And then we began to, last time, we were working through other passages. I can't remember if it was 5 or 6 times in Exodus that the Sabbath command is given. This is serious. This is important. We saw, for instance, that if you break the Sabbath, you could be liable to be punished with death. That's how serious this was. Not if you didn't, worship, if you broke the first commandment or the second commandment or the third commandment, there was no punishment under the law for death. I mean, ultimately, you would die of your sin. But if you break the fourth commandment, you could be put to death. And this wasn't just for Israelites. This was for aliens, sojourners, people who weren't Israelites. So we looked at a number of those passages in the Old Testament law. And that brings us to where we're going to go today. So let's step back. That's a review, a summary of where we've been. Let's ask this question as we're getting our minds going this morning. Does anybody remember rules from the house you grew up in? Think back on the home you grew up in. What were the rules in the home? Just think about those for a moment. Maybe talk with the person next to you. What rules did you have in your house?
You
Still are.
Anybody still, so I'm hearing people talk about some rules they remember from the house they grew up in. Anybody still like live by those rules? Still? What are some of those rules that people were told as children in your home and you still live them out today?
Take your shoes off when you enter the house.
Take your shoes off when you enter the house. Yeah. Yep, that's a pretty common one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not to yell.
Okay. Yep. I'd love to see that one worked out in my household. Yep.
We weren't supposed to slam the doors.
Don't slam the doors. Yep, carefully pull them closed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still remember this. You didn't have that rule, no.
So I often break it in our house.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I still remember, like, I guess I used to, like, take a tissue, kind of blow in it, and then just throw it. And my mom had this conversation with me, like, use the whole tissue. Like, don't waste it. And so to this day, I have a particular way of grabbing a tissue, blowing my nose, folding it, reusing it. This is maybe too much information, but, you know, just these funny things that you get rules from mom and dad that carry down and impact you today. Or who heard there are starving children in Africa? I heard about starving children in Africa.
Did you ever hear the one about cutting the ends off of the roast?
No.
Well, they used to cut the mother always cut the ends off the roast, so the daughter cut the ends off the roast. Okay. And then finally she asked why. It's because the end, it didn't fit in the roasting pan.
Yeah. So, rules. Some of them that we learned when we were growing up stick with us to this day. I imagine there are a number of things that you do that are just habit because mom and dad taught them to you. Maybe there are some other rules that you've decided you're not going to keep those. Can you think of any of those?
So we had a rule at our house. If you ate sloppy, really messy, you had to eat your dinner in the bathtub. Whoa. And so it only happened once with one child, and the rest of us watched and learned.
Okay.
So, but I don't do that one.
Like in a bathtub with water in it? Like
water. No,
that'd be interesting, like floating your plate.
It's easy to wash the tub.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Seems good.
So Israel receives these commandments from the Lord, right? These Ten Commandments. They're kind of in infancy, they're a child. They're learning from God what it is to be his covenant people. And this morning where we're gonna go is look at how do they do in the long run? At listening and then remembering, right? Remember to keep the Sabbath and then living this out in their generation and then in following generations. That's what we're going to look at this morning. But first, we gotta finish kind of where we were. We didn't quite get there last week. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Don't know why I can't say Leviticus
this morning. You have to say it in the bathtub.
Yeah. I have to say it. Well, blowing bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leviticus which?
Leviticus 23. You know what, friends? This is a long passage, so everybody turn there and read it on your own. All right? Everyone read Leviticus 23. Yeah, just read through the whole chapter. Kind of skim through it. Don't feel like you have to read every word. You're going to get the general sense of what's going on here. But just skim through Leviticus 23. While you guys are reading that, I'm going to go see if our outlines are ready.
We're reading Leviticus 23, Mary. You better get on it. It's very long.
Well, something's going on with the printer. I don't know what. So,
oh dear.
Yeah. So, Leviticus chapter 23. What do we observe here about Sabbath? Something new we learn about Sabbath when we get to this chapter. So far, it's just been 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. What's new about the Sabbath here?
Sacred assembly and not doing any work.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so there's an assembly, not doing any work. Yep. Yep. Often Israel would gather on a Sabbath. Yep. But there's some special assemblies that we see here, right? This is where we hear about all of the feasts, the Jewish calendar, their holidays, if you will. They're rhythms of rest throughout the year, right? We learn about Passover, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Booths. And all of these are oriented around the Sabbath as an anchor day, right? They're all in relationship to the Sabbath day. So we're seeing that Sabbath is more than just a 1 in 7. It's these other holidays throughout the year. That's something we learn here about Sabbath, all these feast days. Yeah.
Oh. So, Pastor Andy, they don't sacrifice on the Sabbath. I'm a little confused.
Yep.
They don't sacrifice the animals on this.
They did.
Okay.
Yep.
I was a little confused.
We saw that last week, I think in Numbers. I can't remember the passage.
Okay.
But there was an instruction there for the priests to make sacrifices. It was like above and beyond the normal sacrifices was the way they talked about it there. But remember, where would they have been making sacrifices? At this point in the tent, the tabernacle, later the temple, and even the idea of not all Israel was coming to gather, like the solemn assembly, the solemn rest, solemn gathering, that wasn't happening for most Israelites. It was not until later that they began to gather at the synagogue on a regular weekly rhythm. Now, priests were doing their work every Sabbath. They were doing that, but okay. So Sabbath is more than just one day in seven here. It's also this rhythm of resting, these holidays throughout the year. It's connected with that. Let's go forward to two chapters, to chapter 25 in Leviticus. There we hear this. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord." Wait. The land? Okay, this is something new. The land is supposed to take a rest. Not just the people, not just the animals. It's the land. "For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruits. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord." So again, the 6-in-1 pattern, it's for the land. They're to take a break from farming, to take a break from, I'm not sure what the word is for husbanding, right? That's animals. What's the word for trees and... there's a word for it. I can't think of it. "You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what grows of itself in your harvest or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land." Now, if you get that far, what are you starting to think about? Think about, you're an Israelite living in an agricultural land, and you're starting to maybe worry?
Yeah.
Yep, why?
Because you might run out of food.
You might run out of food. Yeah. Wait, we're not supposed to grow any food or reap anything for a whole year?
Yeah.
So what should that push them to do?
Save up a store,
yep.
And trust
the Lord, yeah. "The Sabbath of the land shall provide food for you, for yourself and for your male and female slaves, and for your hired worker and the sojourner who lives with you, and for your cattle and for the wild animals that are in your land. All its yield shall be for food." God is saying, do you trust me, the Creator, to take care of you? That's what this reminder was for.
They didn't. My note also says that all debts were canceled.
Yes.
During the Sabbath year.
Yep. Yeah. Because Sabbath is about liberation and freedom and redemption, so debts are going to be canceled. Yeah. That's if we were to continue reading about Jubilee. And then there's a special whole, what is it, after seven sevens? 49, 50, Jubilee year, all that. Mm-hmm. So
that'd be two Sabbaths in a row that you didn't plant anything.
Two Sabbaths in a row, right. So 50. Does that make sense? Every 50 years, you'd actually have to spend two whole years of waiting to plant anything or grow anything or reap anything.
They didn't do that.
No. Yeah. So
they got to go into exile to make up for the time that they didn't.
Yes, they did. And we'll hear about what happens for the land. So we've looked at all the instructions for Israel under the Mosaic Law with regard to Sabbath. Let's look at the history and the prophetic books to see how things play out. Do they keep Dad's rules, if you will? Okay. Well, here's one thing we do see is that good kings organized the priests and Levites to fulfill the ceremonial calendar, including the Sabbath. You see this with David in 1 Chronicles 23. "For their duty was to assist the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, having the care of the courts and the chambers, the cleansing of all that is holy, and any work for the service of the house of God. And they were to stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening. And whenever burnt offerings were offered to the Lord on Sabbath," so there's one of your answers to your questions, Liz, right? So David's helping them to do this again. They forgot about it. He's reorganizing them to do this. So making burnt offerings to the Lord on Sabbaths. And here's not just Sabbaths, new moons and feast days, right? This Jewish holiday calendar, according to the number required of them regularly before the Lord. Thus they were to keep charge of the tent of meeting and the sanctuary. So the Levites and the priests, here David's organizing them, reminding of them of their job responsibilities. And one of them is make sacrifices on the Sabbaths, as well as the new moons and the feast days. He had a son, Solomon. Now, he was the one who built the temple, and he built it so that Sabbath offerings could be made. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, Behold, I am about to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, and dedicate it to him for the burning of incense of sweet spices before him, and for the regular arrangement of the showbread, and for burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbaths and the new moons and the appointed feasts of the Lord our God, as ordained forever for Israel. A little bit later in chapter 8 of 2 Chronicles, we hear this. So Solomon says he's going to do it. David wanted to do his organizing. Solomon's the one who builds the temple. What actually happens? Does Solomon follow through? Well, then Solomon offered up burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord that he had built before the vestibule, as the duty of each day required, offering according to the commandment of Moses. So he's remembering back to what God taught his people through Moses in the commandments for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three annual feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths. So Solomon actually carries this out. Now, not every king does this. But we do hear of a king named Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 31 who is tearing down altars and re-engaging with the ceremonial religious worship of Yahweh according to the commandments of Moses. And we hear this. And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and of the Levites, division by division, each according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and peace offerings, to minister in the gates of the camp of the Lord, and to give thanks and praise. The king himself contributed from his own possessions, was for the burnt offerings. What are those? The burnt offerings for the morning and evening, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the appointed feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. So when we see revival, hearts being changed, turning to the Lord God, and then renewal of the societal order, people are returning to Sabbath celebration, Sabbath rest. You might say, if there was revival in our land, what would we see? A return to Sabbath rest, celebrating, worshiping the Lord, resting, ceasing from activity. But revival has to happen first, in human hearts being regenerated. Here's another thing we see, is that Sabbath regulated weekly work rhythms for the priests. Leviticus 24, we would see that they had daily care of the lampstand. And then we see in verses 5 to 9 how they were to take care of the bread that was on the table of presence. All right. You shall take fine flour, you're going to bake it, you're going to make this bread. It's actually quite a bit of bread. It's 12 loaves. They're pretty big sized. You're going to put some frankincense on them, and they are a memorial offering to the Lord. And then we hear, every Sabbath day, Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. This was the expectation. Every Sabbath day, the priests were going to make this bread and arrange it on the table before the Lord. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And then Aaron is, and his sons, and later the priests, they get to eat this bread afterward. This is reaffirmed in 1 Chronicles 9. And then we hear this idea of Sabbath regulating the weekly work rhythm for priests. We also see that in 2 Kings chapter 11. And he commanded them, "This is the thing that you shall do. One third of you, those who come off duty on the Sabbath and guard the king's house." Sabbath was, they'd be on duty for a week, then they'd come off duty. So, and this is, I can't remember the king, who was coming to power, he was a young kid, and Josiah, I think. And they're trying to figure out how to protect him and keep guard over him from his relatives who are going to want to usurp his throne and have a coup. And so the priests, so he's organizing the priests based on their weekly rhythm of work, which is in reference to the Sabbath. So let's do this now. I don't have my outline. It's over here. Let's break up the group. We're going to look at how Israel profaned the Sabbath as they pursued idolatry. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got 6 passages here. So let's break up into groups of six. Maybe you four, you four, and you four in the second row. You three, you two guys back there. And then, what was that? One, two, three, four, five. And then kind of that group back there. So if you do Isaiah 1, and you take Jeremiah 17, and then Ezekiel 20, and then Ezekiel 22, and then Hosea 2, and then Amos chapter 8. Does everybody have the passages? Your outline?
What does the 2-20 mean? Is that follow on?
That's the context. So the specific passages where Sabbath is going to be talked about are listed, and then what if it's in parentheses, that's the context.
Okay.
Read the context to understand what's happening there.
Okay.
So read those passages and talk about how is Israel relating to God and the Sabbath? What do we learn about them there?
I've got it right here.
Got it? Okay. You want to read it?
I don't want to bother other people, so maybe with my eyes.
Okay. Well, it wasn't because they didn't pick the right animals or anything. It's because they lived a life as if they had known God, right? If you look back at the context, no, it's the way they lived their life. They rebelled against the Lord. They're evildoers. They despise the Holy One of Israel. They're rebellious. They're not living a good life, and you know their country is desolate because of it. And you know they're being disciplined by the Lord. He says, you know, forget your offerings, your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices. Why don't you live a life that's honoring to me as my people? Because you are an embarrassment to me. He says, quit doing that. You know. Why don't you just change your lives? Start to act like my people. Instead of going through the motions.
Just saying that.
I see that.
So that was the problem. It wasn't that there was something wrong with the sacrifices. It's just that that's not enough. Lip service. Doesn't believe it. So kind of the same thing that Jesus talked to the Pharisees, you know, that you know, you tithe on mint and cumin, but yet you swallow the camel of the greater aspects of the law. Their hearts are far from the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Emma, do you need an outline?
He's saying you can do this. Your father can do this. Dress yourself up pretty. The inside of the cup is dirty.
Are you using Gateway Bible on your phone?
If you got to figure it out, I need a couple more minutes. It's okay if you do.
It's a good source.
It is a good source.
It's called
Bible.
What's
it called?
When I
build
the passage.
Oh, okay. That's pretty handy.
It's a Bible app.
Because he's basically challenged.
I just like the translation.
This is very nice. I love the size of the font on your Bible. I was having Bible envy there. I'm going, oh my goodness, I can read that.
The font, the better.
My eyes aren't what they once were.
Ezekiel?
Well, that's a good book too, Julie.
Our group has got this.
You can rest. You can rest, Julian. Just rest.
You asked
it is the
Sabbath.
I'll
get it wrong.
Maybe not.
You
asked
about restitution.
Okay. All right. Well, let's come back together and we'll share with each other. So, our folks up front, you had Isaiah chapter 1. What do we learn about Israel and the Sabbath there?
Well, they're going through the motions, and it wasn't pleasing God at all. Their heart wasn't in it, and he really felt that they were profaning him just because they were disrespectful and not meaningful.
Yeah, yep. They're maybe doing one thing, but their hearts really weren't in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep, yeah. And so he offers to them judgment, and at the end of that, he's going to offer them as well covenant. So they're going to be cursed because they're not keeping the Sabbath, amongst some other things. Mm-hmm. But he's also going to offer them covenant blessings if they'll turn to him. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And even we get a reminder of that in April, right? White snow.
Oh, dear.
Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall what? Eat the good of the land. The land will be blessed if you turn to the Lord and follow his covenant and keep his Sabbath. The land will be blessed. That's the outworking of Sabbath keeping. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Yeah.
Was there something you wanted to add, or?
Oh, he was just reading the bud as
Oh, the bud,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and it goes on and on about that they weren't enjoying the fruit of the land.
Right.
They were suffering because mm-hmm. they hadn't kept the Sabbath. They
yeah.
hadn't put their faith in God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just going to be visible to the nations.
Yeah.
Whether they kept the sign of the covenant or not. Yeah. Okay. Jeremiah 17.
Yeah, so this is talking about, it's a warning from God to the Israelites mm-hmm. at this time about their ancestors who did not follow. And he specifically says that they were obstinate and not listening, not paying attention to the warnings in the past. And so he's giving them this opportunity to hear the warning and the turn.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends a lot of time talking about all of the good things that could happen, mm-hmm. all the positive things that could happen if they were to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then gives the warnings too, but yeah, he spends a lot of time talking about all the, if you just do this,
yeah,
all this stuff could happen. But
yeah, so this is a warning. And something you're drawing out there is that Sabbath is about fullness of life. So when you're saying he's talking about God's trying to motivate them, right? He doesn't just do as I say. Do as I say, but he's giving all of these reasons why. If you listen to me, if you follow me, you will have fullness of life. He's trying to motivate them and persuade them. This way is better. Follow me. This is the path of life. Yeah. Good. Okay. How about Ezekiel chapter 20? That's a longer passage, but...
It is.
Yeah, feel free to...
It went ahead and it seemed to focus on their idolatry and seeking after the idols from Egypt. And then in verse 31 it says, to this day, so we never stop worshiping, but I kept on with their idolatry from the time they were in Egypt.
Yeah, there's something that hasn't been put to death in them as a collective people. Yeah. How about then Ezekiel 22?
So the people, the leaders, the priests, they're all bent on shedding blood. Very murderous intent. Mm-hmm. They're very evil. And the priests have just disregarded the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. They have not taught the Sabbath to anyone. And so by that, they're profaning everything that is holy.
Yeah. So you picked up on those words that are profane over against what's holy. That's kind of a thing that pops out here with Sabbath. There's the sacred, the holy. They're profaning common, unclean, especially by blood, right? Blood is going to make things unclean. And ultimately, God's saying the root of that, the root of their behavior of blood shedding is that they're unclean internally. Yeah. Right after that, remember there's that picture of Ahola and Aholibah, these adulterous whores that God uses to convey to Israel that they are just like that. They are adulterous, they are whores going after other gods. Okay. How about Hosea chapter 2? Yeah, covenant judgments upon them. Again, connection of Sabbath, kind of keeping it to the letter of the law almost, but not really in their hearts, what we saw in Isaiah as well. And the connection there with the land was suffering. You know, because God was going to continue to bring famine and judgment. There's going to be beasts, there's going to be nakedness. It talks about there as judgment. So... And then our last passage is from the prophet Amos in chapter 8. What do we learn there? About Israel and profaning the Sabbath, idolatry.
It talks about their idolizing profit and the selling of grains instead of the Sabbath
itself. Yeah. So a particular God they're worshiping is money, profits, what they're earning. And on the backs of the poor, that's also comes out in this passage. They're oppressing the laborer. Yeah. So God, again, is going to issue judgment. He's going to issue famine upon them. Okay, if this is the way you want to do business, I will give you the result of doing business that way. Famine, lack of profit, lack of money. You're going to hunger for the very thing you need to live. So we see Israel profanes the Sabbath and in their idolatrous worship. Yeah. So Sabbath and the kind of the Jewish holiday calendar, it becomes sort of like today, you know, C and E Christians, right? Those who only come on Christmas and Easter. Ever heard that phrase? We might, you know, Easter's coming up. It was religious, it was superficial. You were to look at 2 Kings chapter 4, and this is the husband of the Shunammite, says, why will you go to him today? Now, she is talking about going to Elisha. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath, because that's when you go seek a prophet, right? On the holiday, the special day, you got to get together with God's people. That's when you seek out the blessing from the Lord. But she said, all is well. So she saddles her donkey, said her servant, urged the animal on. So she goes, because she wants to relate to God and his prophet every day, not just on the Christmas and Easter, if you will. Well, the situation is not looking good, and so we hear these promises in the prophets connected to Sabbath. God promises Sabbath restoration. Sabbath is a delight. Hear this in Isaiah 58. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, instead call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, like you get to do this, right? We said last week, it's almost like Sabbath gathering with God's people, like it's a party. You get to come and enjoy this life. Well, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So Sabbath is ultimately about delight in the Lord, in him as the creator and the savior. If you delight in him, what's going to flow out of that is life. We were looking at Sabbath rest for the land in Leviticus 25. Well, we hear this in 2 Chronicles 36. Israel is off in Babylon in exile. And we hear, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Israel wasn't going to obey the Sabbath. God was going to make the land experience a Sabbath. So he sent them out of the land into exile, and the land had rest. Yeah?
Colossians 2, where it talks about the substance belongs to Christ, is that it's referring to the rest of the Sabbath, to the rest of Christ? Is that what Paul's referring to?
Say that again.
Paul in Colossians 2 talks about the new moon and Sabbath, yep. The substance belongs to Christ. Is that what you just said, referring to the rest that Christ is compared to the rest of the
Sabbath? Yeah, ultimately, these were all a picture. They were a shadow. They were a type of the thing that was to come in Christ. And we'll look into that, because something changes when Jesus comes. So that's what Paul's referencing. Yeah. God also gives the promise of Sabbath keeping under the new covenant. Isaiah 56, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. This is a prophecy. Who's it ultimately fulfilled in? The son of man. Who's the son of man who keeps Sabbath? Who doesn't profane it, who keeps his hand from doing any evil? Jesus. It's fulfilled in him. And then as we are in him, he's working it out in us. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument, and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And I was just suggested this passage is connected to, in Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch experiences this under the new covenant. He experiences this blessing. Okay. Now there's Isaiah 66. This is a disputed passage about when this takes place. But we do hear, for as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. Well, Israel gets sent out of the land because they don't keep the Sabbath, amongst other things that they violate and break God's laws. The land gets rest. And they come back into the land. And we hear what Nehemiah does. He restores Sabbath observance as a covenant obligation. He does that in Nehemiah 10 and 13. And I think we won't read that. I'll just reference it. I think we'll wrap up at this point. So we've looked at all of the Old Testament passages that speak about Sabbath. So we won't have Sunday school. Next Sunday, we have a brunch at 8:45. That's our tradition around here on Easter. We'll pick this up again in 2 weeks on the 16th. And we'll try to draw out what are the principles that we've learned from the Old Testament. And then we're going to wrestle with, as Stephen was pointing us to, we got to look at Christ comes and something changes with Sabbath. And we want to learn from him. What's changed? What's different? So any questions before we finish up this morning? Okay. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that the Son of Man has kept the Sabbath and has not profaned it and has worshipped you. And that as we'll see in the Gospels, he is the Son of Man who rules over the Sabbath. And so we want to have eyes to see Jesus and how he lives this out and fulfills it perfectly, and then follow in his steps as his disciples. And we will follow in his steps as we come upstairs to worship now. In Jesus' name, amen.